Today, the property investor party is over. The DFA Daily to the 13th of June 2020. Hello again. Welcome back. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, where I just update of finance and property news. And today I'm going to focus in specifically on the property investor sector. Earlier in the week, the AFR led with a story about the fact that property investors were suffering from acute cash flow issues thanks to falling rent or no rents and other financial pressures triggered by COVID. And the AFR also ran with another property investor story today. The property investment party is over. My very own words. We certainly know from our surveys that many property investors are seeing negative returns and are indeed suffering cash flow pressures and therefore are considering selling. So I thought I would look first at the AFR article and then go into some more detail using our data, which the AFR used to base the story on. And by the way, I'm sharing another tranche of postcode level data with them next week, so watch out for that. But I won't steal their thunder on that dimension today. This is what Neela Sweeney at the AFR wrote. Like many landlords, Clearglide always believed property investing was a reliable way to make money. It's stable, simple, and it comes with hefty tax breaks. Now she's not so sure. It's a lot harder to make property investing work in this environment, she said. Rents are dropping and it's a renter's market, so there's a high level of insecurity around keeping my tenants at the moment. I'm too worried about spooking them with rental and maintenance issues that I'd end up with an empty property, which would really hurt my cash flow situation. So if times were normal, I would like to sell my two investment properties because they're probably never going to have massive capital growth anyway, given the current market. And for Daniel Payne, who was recently furloughed from his job at an oil and gas company, the property game is over. After investing for 12 years, he decided to call it quits and sell up. The company has paused just about every project in Australia, so I'm on JobKeeper at the moment. I'm not sure when normal work returns, and I don't want to have the additional worry of having a large debt hanging over my head, he said. By selling my rental property in Chipping Norton, I'd be able to reduce my mortgage to a more manageable and less stressful level. The rents were not covering the costs and capital gains have been slow coming. There's so much uncertainty at the moment, so it's probably not worth the risk holding on to my rental property. And the triple whammy of falling rents, rising vacancies, and low capital growth is driving many property investors to bail out. The number of landlords who are liquidating their rental assets rose to 12% from 8% in April, said Martin North, Director of Digital Finance Analytics. An estimated 90,830 investors dropped out of the market during the past 12 months, reducing the total to 2.34 million, I said. At the market's peak in 2017 and 18, the number of landlords surged by 8.9% to 2.39 million. Investors are selling up because financial stress is rising, with two out of three landlords not seeing a positive return on their investment, I said. I think the investor party is well and truly over for now. And tax expert Adrian Rafferty estimates that a typical Sydney investor is currently losing around $6,543 in rent each year. Tax rebates for negative gearing may help, but the average tax rate is about 25%. So for every $4 forgone in rent, the tax benefit is just $1. The net loss is a real hit, especially for retirees who rely on that rental income to survive, he said. As we have seen in previous market slumps, one bad year in the property market takes a good 4 or 5 years to recover from. So current investors will need to have that long-term investment view and ride the short-term bumps. And CoreLogic's analyst Eliza Owen said that the withdrawal of investors from housing markets may put downward pressure on prices for investment-grade stock like apartments. Investors represent around 26% of the market, so a drop in activity will affect prices, SQM Research Managing Director Louis Christopher said. A growing number of landlords are jumping ship as rental incomes fall and capital gains slow. Investors are a significant component of the market, so when investor activity falls, a significant drop in property prices follows, he said. If investors were to leave the market en masse, this will put further downward pressure on already falling prices because you're taking out a large chunk of demand from the market. And Mr. Christopher said that this was already evident by falling auction clearance rates. Over the past 2 weeks, homes cleared at auction dropped to around 40% of properties listed in Sydney and Melbourne after the initial bounce in mid-May, signalling falls in prices, Mr. Christopher said. So let's look at the data in a bit more detail, drawing on our core market model, which is based on our rolling 52,000 household survey. So I'm going to start by looking at the property investor trends across the states. And I should say again, this is drawn from our core market model. So you can see that in the ACT, there has been a little growth over from 2017 to 2020, and there's around 50,000 property investors in ACT. That number is a lot higher in New South Wales. It peaked out at nearly 800,000 investors in 2019, but is now dropping back. And you can also see that in the Northern Territories, there's around 20,000 and a slight growth, but not a lot really to write home about. In Queensland, the fall of property investors started in 2018, and there's just around 400,000 there now. If you look at South Australia, there's around 130 to 140 there. And in fact, we've seen a little more growth recently because of the buoyant market in South Australia. And the same is true in Tasmania, although there is, of course, a smaller number of property investors there. And in Victoria, again, we've seen the trend dive down from 2019, which was the peak, and that was just below 600,000 property investors in the state. And finally, over in Western Australia, the number of property investors started to decline in 2018 because of the dynamics of the property market over there. And in fact, the numbers have been falling ever since. And by the way, have you subscribed to our channel? Nearly 40,000 others have, so you should join them. And to make sure that you're alerted when we post our daily updates, also don't forget to ring the alert bell and enable YouTube alerts. That way, you won't miss any of our shows. So now let's look at property investors across Australia by state, looking at the growth each year. So in the ACT, you can see that there has been a reasonable amount of growth. In New South Wales, it's clearly declining in 2020. In the Northern Territories, not a lot to see really. In Queensland, it's been declining for the last couple of years. In South Australia, it's actually declining just slightly now, although there was growth last year. In Tasmania, there is, again, a similar trend, a little bit of decline this year, but growth last year. In Victoria, again, a decline in 2020. And in Western Australia, the decline started a little earlier. So here's another way of looking at the same information. In 2017, there were 2.15 million property investors in Australia. In 2018, that rose to 2.35 million. In 2019, it was up to 2.39 million. But in 2020, it's dropped to 2.3 million. So there's been a decline. And we can look at the distribution across the states for each year and then begin to make some comparisons in a more granular way. And it's interesting to observe that, for example, in the ACT, it went from 46.8 to 55.5 thousand. Whereas in New South Wales, it went from 707 thousand to 769 thousand, which is a considerable jump. In 2019, again, there were reasonable rises. In ACT, it went from 51,000 to 53,000, whereas in New South Wales, it went from 769,000 to 792,000. In Victoria, it went from 573,000 to 590,000. And then in 2020, and this is where it gets really interesting, we start to see the declines. So in the ACT, it dropped from 53,000 to 51,000. In New South Wales, it dropped from 792,000 to 767,000. In Victoria, it dropped from 590,000 to 573,000. And in Western Australia, it dropped from 258,000 to 245,000. So that you can see there is a very strong trend of declining counts of property investors in Australia. The other way to look at it is the number of investment properties, because of course many people have more than one property on investment terms. And in fact, quite a few have six or more. And if you do the math based on the number of investors and the distribution, we have more than 3 million investment properties available. In 2017, in the ACT, there were 71,000 properties available for rent. In New South Wales, there was more than 1 million properties back in 2017. In the Northern Territories, around 37,000 properties. In Queensland, around 552,000. In South Australia, 193,000. In Tasmania, 47,000. In Victoria, 753,000. And in Western Australia, 349,000. If we jump forward now to 2020, we can see that in ACT it's gone up to 78,000. In New South Wales it's got up to 1.13 million properties. In the Northern Territories up to 39,000. In Queensland up to 574,000. In South Australia up to 211,000. Tasmania 51,000. And Victoria 828,000, with Western Australia at 356,000. And another way of looking at that is to look at the delta between 2017 and 2020, remembering, of course, that the volume of property investors peaked a year ago. In the ACT, between 2017 and 2020, there was a 10.4% rise in the number of investment properties available, just over 7,000 additional properties. In New South Wales, it was 8% between 2017 and 2020, and that was around 84,000 additional investment properties available. In the Northern Territory, it was just 4.5% over that period, with just 1,700 properties available. In Queensland, the rise was 4% between 2017 and 2020, and there were around 22,000 properties added to the list of investment properties in the state. In South Australia, it rose 8.9%, and that brought another 17,000 properties onto the market for investment purposes. Whereas in Tasmania, there was an 8.6% rise, and that took the total number of properties up by just over 4,000. In Victoria, there was a 9.9% rise, with another 74,000 properties added to the market for rental. And in Western Australia, there was just a 1.9% rise, equating to just over 6,500 properties. Incidentally, did you know that we also run a Patreon channel? The link is below. You can sign up to various levels of support and access extra content. Depending on the level you join, you can also get access to our mortgage stress data or even the full monthly data from our core market model. So do check it out. And you can join for as little as $3 a month. So you can see there that there is a very significant change in the momentum within property investments. And my surveys tell me that there are a few reasons for this. The first is, of course, that there has been little capital growth, despite all the hype about property prices, and the forward expectations will be lower still. But secondly, rentals are definitely under pressure. Many people are not getting the rentals they want, and in some places rents are down 20 to 30%. And the third point to make is that the tax breaks effectively become a little less generous as interest rates drop, because you get effectively relief on the interest costs. So they're actually less beneficial than they used to be. And I guess the final point is that the mortgages that are required to buy property at the current levels are very large, and therefore the ability to service those mortgages are now more at risk. And I remind you, around two-thirds of property investors are not seeing any positive returns from their investments at the moment. And from our surveys, we know that around 12% of property investors are thinking of selling over the next year or so. And by the way, the move from 8% to 12%, more than half of those are ex-Airbnb, because quite a few property investors have only been able to make the investment equation work by the higher rents that are available for short-term lets. But of course, they've dissipated. They may return later, but there's a big hole in the cash flow. And that's why I think that the property investment party is over for now, but I think it's also over for not just a few weeks or even months, but I actually think we've come to the point where property investment is going to be on the nose for quite some time ahead. And before I go, a quick reminder that on Tuesday the 16th of June at 8 p.m. Sydney time, I'll be running my next live Q&A and sharing my updated models. You can ask me a question live then via the YouTube chat or beforehand via the DFA blog. The links are in the comments below. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.